You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Sign up for the newsletter. It's free. Subscribe on YouTube. It's free to do that too. And to follow all of our social media accounts. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and generally just keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. That's www.commonfan.co. You can also get your Common Fan socks. Go to silliesco.com, S-I-L-L-I-E-S-C-O.com, silliesco.com. Use the promo code GBR for life. That's GBR number 4, L-I-F-E. Matty O is showing the beautiful red and black versions of the Common Fan socks.
Jeff's got a one-up me. I'm wearing them.
I'm wearing a pair.
Yep. Love it. If you don't have Common Fan socks, you're missing out.
Were those slippers?
Go to silliesco.com and get yourself some Common Fan socks. You get 25% off with GBR for life promo code. You can get 25% off the whole site, not just the Common Fan socks. Last thing, go to cpbeef.com, the best Nebraska beef you can find anywhere.
Succulent.
And it is, and you can get 25% off there using the promo code Common Fan, all one word, Common Fan, for succulent Nebraska beef.
Succulent, discounted juicy meat. Beef. I know some of our audience loves the term discounted meat.
It's not discounted meat. Good,
Jeff, succulent discount meat.
It's premium it's premium Nebraska. Gosh dang it. It's premium Nebraska beef that you can get at a
the people what they want.
Reduced price. Thanks for the Common Fans. God dang it, Jeff.
High quality premium beef at a lower price.
At a lower price. You're already throwing us off, Jeff.
Discount meat.
This is why you're not in marketing, Jeff. Discounted meat.
It's like a picture like a small town grocery store with like the neon letters on the front window. Discount meat.
Yeah.
Hey guys, we're already a week into spring ball, and if you wanted some Kool-Aid to like just really guzzle some for the off season, some a data point to help you guzzle some off season Kool-Aid. It's here's one. Pick Six Previews, great Twitter follow. Pick Six Previews, just fully devoted to college football.
National, that's like a national.
Yeah, totally. Thing. Yeah. 14 programs signed a top 25 high school class and a top 25 transfer class. There's some big names on here, guys. Alabama is on here. Oklahoma is on here.
Yeah.
USC is on here. Oregon's on here, Florida State, LSU. Mm-hmm. Did I say LSU? Anyway, Michigan's on here. You know who else is on this list? You know who else is on? A lot of good programs on here. Do you know who else is on here?
Who?
I don't know.
Who? The Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Nebraska. Get the heck out of here.
Respectable programs.
Yeah. Top 25 high school class and a top 25 transfer class. Hey. So if that doesn't
the Irish on that list?
National championship. Excuse me?
Notre Dame on that list? I'm just curious.
I don't think they're on the list.
They didn't make it. They didn't
they're
do
not
it.
On the list.
I was just wondering.
On the list.
Yep. No big deal. I was just checking.
Yeah. You're going to be all right? Don't flip out.
I'll be fine.
Okay, good. One more thing, guys. We're going to talk about the Nebraska's wide receiver room. It might be the most exciting, position group and the most exciting group of wide receivers the Huskers have had in a long time. But I saw this thing that Illinois head coach Brett Bielema did. This guy, I hate it. I hate him when Nebraska loses to Illinois. But
I already know
where
you're going to go with this.
He's pretty dang funny. Have you seen this guy on social media who does his morning routine?
Yeah, and, like everybody's copying it now.
Yeah, he's just ripped
dipping the face in ice.
Dips his face in ice.
Yep, ice water,
and
yeah.
Washes his face with the banana peel. And it doesn't appear that he actually does anything other than take videos of himself. But anyway, so a lot of people have been having lots of fun with this gentleman and kind of making fun of it. So if you go to Brett Bielema's Twitter account, he posted something. Day 1,558 as a Illini head football coach, spring practice for prep. And he's basically mocking this guy's video. He's putting his face in a bowl of ice. And then he puts his whistle on. And it's pretty funny. So if you have encountered this video that's gone, you know, of this guy or people making fun of it or whatever, Brett Bielema did. So he used the same water that the guy uses that he pours bottled water into.
TJ.
It's like expensive water, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Nebraska football put one out, and it was our program favorite Heinrich Harburg doing.
I saw that. I did. Oh, see
I totally
that.
Missed that.
Okay, yeah,
I totally
you got to check. You got to check it on Instagram.
And that was so everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it.
That was before I knew what they were even parodying. Like,
yeah, and same. And like, oh, it's that. Like a viral trend thing. Yeah, no, it was very good. You got to see William Wallace do it. It's like
as much as people are making fun of this guy, this is like the best thing that could have happened to him.
Oh yeah,
everybody's doing it, right?
You got some pub.
Oh my gosh! All right, so today we're gonna do a deep dive into Nebraska football's wide receiver room. I'm not sure. I don't want to promise that we're going to go through every position group, but I think we'll try to do these from time to time, going into some of the most interesting position groups on the team. I think wide receiver is one that everybody's excited about. And I was going to say something else. I totally lost it. But anyway, so we're going to talk about the wide receivers today. This is not the beginning of a series where we go through every position group or anything like that. We are going to try to do this for some other position groups. But even if we don't get to that, because we have some guests lined up and some other exciting things going on, everybody wants to talk about the wide receivers. Am I wrong?
No.
Everybody wants to talk about the wide
receivers.
Hollywood, baby.
Yeah, it's Hollywood. It's Jeff
Lund. It's the funnest position to watch. It's the funnest position out there. Big plays. That's the wide receiver.
It's sexy. It's a sexy position.
Here, so we're gonna go deep dive. So there's so much new at this position, starting with the coaching staff, right? So if you start with Dana Holgorsen, yes, he started with three games to go in the regular season in 2024, but a relatively new offensive coordinator. And then in the offseason, Holgorsen went and got his guy, Dakell Shorts, who played for him and coached with him at a couple of his different spots. Shorts was most recently the wide receivers coach at Kentucky, and Holgorsen, like, that was the one major change Holgorsen made, right? Yeah. So he didn't change out all the position group coaches, but he clearly believes in Shorts and what he can bring to the program, and Shorts immediately delivers, right? And he brings two transfers with him from Kentucky. The big name guy is Dane Key, and also Hardly Gilmore the fourth. So I think we'll go through this. We're not going to talk about every single wide receiver, but we're going to go through it by grade or by age or whatever you want to
class.
Call it. So class. There you go. So the only senior on the list is Dane Key, transferred from Kentucky. And let's see. So this is all, any stats we reference are from Huskers.com. So, you know, it's legit. So over 3 years at Kentucky, Key played in 38 games, started 35 of them. Mm-hmm. So huge production, you know, all the way back to his freshman season. Caught 126 balls for 1,870 yards and 14 touchdowns. In 3 years at Kentucky, he's fifth all time on the receptions list and 13th in career receiving yards. I mean, this is a guy you bring in and you say, this is a day one. Like, we're bringing him in to start. Yeah. We're bringing him in to start.
He's one of the guys. He's one of the main guys.
Bring him in to play.
We're the main character.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just excited, guys. Last year it was Jamal Banks and Isaiah Nair, and this year, you know, it's a few guys to choose from, and we'll get to more of them. But any thoughts on Dane Key?
Yeah, I think anytime you're able to bring in somebody that's on another school's all-time list for anything, like, that's generally like a really good addition, right?
Right.
And then you think about, okay, he's also was doing that against the SEC, which it wasn't like, you know, and no knock against like some of the FCS level guys we brought in, like Samari Toure and things like that, where he's doing it in Montana or somewhere like that. This is Kentucky. This is playing SEC teams. And granted, like, they did not have a great offense last year, and he still had a really productive season in spite of, I don't think they had a real good quarterback to get guys the ball, but it's impressive, you know, for him to be able to do that and then add a guy like that that's got a ton of experience against that level of competition. Really excited about Mr. Key.
I echo anything to add to that? I echo those exact sentiments.
You took
I was
your
going
sunglasses
to say the
off, Jeff. Damn it.
I can't see. I'm trying to read my phone. I can't see this. I'm blind. Love of God. But I guess Hollywood comes at a cost. I'll put them back on in a second. I was going to say the same thing as Owens, though. Like playing in the SEC, you know, you're getting a baller there regardless of what SEC team you're playing for. That's just it's a great conference. It's a tough conference. We all know this. So it's going to be awesome to see what this dude has the ability to do here with Nebraska when he's got our boy Dylan, a confident quarterback, throwing to him. So it's pretty freaking exciting.
No doubt. No doubt. Just another data point tidbit to keep the Kool-Aid flowing throughout this episode. Just a few days ago, Steve Merrick, who is a Rivals reporter, tweeted, they were talking to players after one of the practices, Nebraska safety Marquez Buford Jr. on the Huskers wide receivers, quote, "Our receiver room is elite, to say the least." So very exciting coming from a seasoned veteran in Nebraska's, you know, defensive back room. All right, moving on to the juniors. There's a few guys on here. We'll name them all. We're not going to talk about every single player. Cooper Hausman, Roman Mangini, Hayes Miller. Guys that haven't moved the needle that much or seen the field a lot. But this guy, the one junior who has, is one of my favorite Huskers, Janiron Bonner. Okay. So after a position, this is from Huskers.com, position switch from fullback to wide receiver. Bonner played in all 13 games as a sophomore. He started three of them, caught 11 passes for 67 yards and one touchdown, rushed twice for 11 yards and another touchdown. I'll be honest with you, 11 passes and 67 yards, I would have guessed more than that. It felt like every time he made a play, it felt like every time Bonner made a play, it was a high impact play, right? It was getting a first down. It was like a, you know, neat formation, right? That worked. I don't know. Yeah. Like he's kind of like in that, he was a fullback. So he's a little bit of a bigger guy. It kind of lines up as like an H back or tight end sometimes. And I'm just really excited. I think Holgorsen is the type of guy who can be really creative with a guy like Bonner. And I think he's actually set to thrive even more here in his junior season.
Yeah, like a Swiss Army knife kind of guy. Like you know, it's one of those, like just a football player. You put him anywhere and get him the ball. I mean, the way he would run with the ball was like, oh my God, get out of his way or he's going to kill you. So you want to figure out ways to get a guy like Harbor, a guy like Bonner, where you can move those guys around and they're smart enough to be able to know, you know, different sets and positions and things like that. I'm all for getting this guy the ball more. I really loved kind of what they did I guess I'd have thought maybe a lot more than 11 catches too, but he also had some runs, I think. But yeah, I love it. Let's get Bonner more involved.
TJ, what you brought up there kind of piqued my interest was when his lack of yards, but like you said, he's getting first downs and that's important. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't care if he's got, you know, low yardage, whatever. You got to win games. You got to get first downs. And you brought it up with like running, like you need to convert. If you're in a third down situation, this is the guy that you can throw it to that's going to convert. If you're like third and eight, you know, third, even third and long, this is the guy you can throw to convert those first downs. So, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah from Geoff and Lincoln.
Hell yeah.
I think the most exciting group of this, of the, just because it's the biggest group of contributors probably, is the sophomores. Okay. So first back is Ja'Cory Barney Jr. Played in all 13 games as a true freshman last year. Only started in four. I would have guessed he actually started more. But 55 passes for 447 yards. That tied the school record for receptions by a freshman. He rushed 10 times for 130 yards. 13 yards a carry, guys. I mean, that's
electric. And then,
electric. Three touchdowns. And then he returned 14 kickoffs for 285 yards and also returned a few punts. So he led the Huskers with 55 receptions. And then ranked second on the team with 842 all purpose yards, third nationally among all FBS freshmen in receptions. He's a guy no one needs to be convinced, right? An incredible athlete. Made tons of big time plays for us last year, huge upside. And what we talked about so many times last fall, not the biggest guy and a true freshman, you know, playing his first big time college football, the guy would get lit up.
That's what I was.
And he would always bounce back up. You go for it, Mattio.
Well, I just think he's got to, he's incredible. Let me just say that right off the bat. He's got to figure out a way to not get absolutely freaking murdered when he's
Right.
running the ball. And then, like, I don't know, it's always seemed like he's trying to make just one more move, and that just gets him just lit up. So he's got a little bit of that, like, high running style, kind of Marcus, or what is his name? Remember Maurice Washington kind of had his high running style when he'd get hit. It was like, oh my God. So he's got to figure out, I think, a way to get a little more slippery at the end of a play and avoid those big hits and avoid that big contact. But like you said, it happened a lot last year, and he would bounce right back up, throw a first down, signal, and back in the huddle. So, but I would like to see Jacory maybe figure out a way to not get murdered when he's running the ball.
I think TJ, you kind of alluded to it, but the one word that pops into my head is proven. We know what this guy does. We know what he's capable of. I think this is the one receiver that we can all sit back in comfort and say, this is going to be a dude that's going to make some big plays this year. The one thing that I'm shocked about is the numbers you threw up there about returning kicks. Like, I thought last year we just quit doing that. I thought we weren't doing that anymore, but apparently he was out there still fielding kicks and running the football. So, good for him.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah,
We need a nickname for Barney. Surprised we don't have there. Maybe
right.
there is one amongst the team, but
We'll figure it
we
out.
need something for that guy.
We'll
We'll
something will
come up with
happen during.
something for
Yeah. Oh
Barney.
yeah.
The guy's like Lightning. I don't think Lightning is the nickname, but we got to come up with something
No, there's gonna be
for
something name
Barney.
related, and not the purple
Yeah.
dinosaur, because there's nothing
No,
intimidating about that.
no.
That's
And also,
lame.
there's
Be
probably a
original.
lot of new, like, cool cultural stuff that we don't even know about that the
Yeah,
kids are
right.
talking about. That it probably, something like we're well into our 40s
Yeah,
now. We don't know about this
no cap,
anymore.
no cap,
No
TJ.
cap. No
Yeah,
cap. Yeah.
exactly.
What does that mean again? I forget. They're not
I
lying.
think
Is that
it
what that
means like
means?
unlimited. I don't know.
I
I
thought
think it
no
means
cap.
unlimited.
I don't know.
No
See, I
cap.
don't know. I have no clue.
No,
We
put
don't.
no
None of us
cap
know.
on it. No
Riz.
cap on it.
None of us know.
Yeah.
Skibbity Riz. All right. The
Okay. Oh
next
God.
one. What the Sigma? What the
Our
Sigma? Oh
over
my
the
gosh.
over 50 sect of our audience just absolutely tuned out.
Yeah,
Turned it
we're
off.
coming back to the wide receivers
Yeah.
audience.
All right,
Stick
we're
with us.
back.
All right, next, Nazaia Hunter, guy transferred from Cal, spent 2 seasons at Cal before he transferred to Nebraska. So he redshirted his first season and then had some great numbers as a redshirt freshman. Caught 40 balls, 578 yards, 5 touchdowns, and he led Cal in receiving touchdowns. He caught at least one pass in all 12 games with multiple receptions in 11 of those. So, pretty exciting stuff. A friend of the program, Jim in Minnesota,
Yeah,
retweeted
Jim.
out just this Jim guy, by the way, good friend of the program. He is up on everything. He listens, he seems seemingly reads everything, listens to every podcast, and always has some good insightful commentary. So
He knew me from the
good
Jim Rome show.
good
Way to go, Jim.
follow. Yeah, that's right. Well, a lot of people do, Jeff. Good
Yeah,
follow
no,
for
way to
Husker
pay
fans.
us.
Anyway, he says, I don't think we're talking about Nazaia Hunter enough about wide receiver Nazaia Hunter, average 14 and a half yards a catch, with 5 TDs as a freshman. He's 6'2", 210 pounds. And this was in response to a tweet that Hunter put out, spring ball next week, time to prove it again. So this was a little bit in advance of spring ball. The guy looks the part, guys. He's put up some stats at big time. Well, I don't know if Cal's big time, but at an FBS program, like he's done it with
Sure.
live bullets against good competition. And he's another guy I think we can be really excited about.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to know a heck of a lot about him,
Yeah.
but again, the numbers, got experience, and the size alone, that build, 6'2", 210, yes, like that's like Debo Samuel like size and build. So it'll be really fun to see. I mean, we think Dane Key's one of the guys, right? I don't know if we talk about X positions, XYZ, whatever. But we know Dane Key's one of the guys. It'll be so interesting to see who like the other like two or three main guys are, because there's so many guys to choose from. This is fantastic, guys. We've never had
Yeah.
an embarrassment of riches like this.
It's a great problem to have.
And
You
I
know
was
what I
going to say,
mean?
what Dylan said about this wide receiver room, bunch of Ferraris and Lamborghinis. That's what he said. And I quote,
I'm going to talk about Hollywood. I got to put the sunglasses back.
Yeah, you do. You do, Jeff. No.
Bunch of Ferraris and Lamborghinis.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Speaking of which, we'll keep right on rolling.
Let's do it. Let's keep
the
going.
Next guy, back to the Dukel Shorts impact, Hardly Gilmore the IV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he's got 3 seasons left of eligibility. He only played 1 season at Kentucky before transferring to Nebraska. Kind of modest production, 6 catches for 153 yards, but he averaged 25 and a half yards per catch. And that's after missing the first 5 games. So that was another contributor there too. And you guys remember BC, Brian Christopherson, mm-hmm. told us, you know, he said, I don't even, like, we asked him about sleepers and he brought up Gilmore. He said, I'm not sure he's even considered a sleeper, but he might have the highest ceiling is what BC said. And he pointed out that Gilmore was only 16 when he committed to Kentucky, and the folks in Lexington, is Kentucky in Lexington? I think it is.
Yeah.
Folks mm-hmm. in Lexington were pretty upset and pretty disappointed when he decided to leave for Nebraska. So, and you have to figure Shorts knows as well as anybody what this guy can do.
Right.
The other thing BC mm-hmm. said is, quote, I've heard he's a real workhorse and he's gained weight since he's been here already. I know that. And I definitely think he is going to be one to watch. And BC brought Gilmore up as he kind of went on to say, he sort of floated the idea that Gilmore might be the guy that can take the top off the defense.
Yeah.
And I think that, which, you know, I'm not sure we've really had that since Trey Palmer. We had several times last year where defensive backs seemed to be beat and they did get pass interferences called on them. So, you know, maybe, you know, Nair and Banks were kind of that guy sometimes, but I don't know that we've really had a guy that you can bank on just completely taking the top off the defense since Trey Palmer. And DC was suggesting
that
Gilmore could be that guy. Go ahead, Jeff.
I love it. Just, it's a good sign when another fan base is upset when somebody from their state leaves. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people, and Husker fans are included in this, if somebody from Nebraska were to go somewhere else, if you know, you're that hurts. But a lot of times, if they're not that great, you're like, oh, good, you can have them, fine, move on. But if they're upset that he's leaving, I think we've got something really, really good coming our way. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
well, it's like us being a little bit peeved about the majority of our defensive line taken off,
sure.
right? Like
yeah.
we were freaking out for a little bit there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, another guy that, and I think Coach Shorts actually referred to Gilmore as, quote, a dog. So like when you have a coach who's done it, and like Shorts, and like 3 or 4 year starter, I think he was, and I think Dana said something about that this week, who refers to one of his guys as a dog, like he's probably a dog. So that's mm-hmm. that's encouraging too. Again, like with so many guys, a lot of mouths to feed.
That's right.
Workhorse, TJ, you said, I love it. Grinder. That means they're there to do a job and they do it. They know what they're supposed to do and they do it, damn it.
Keep naming it. Workhorse.
Workhorse.
Grinder.
Dog. Grinder.
Professional.
Well, and I think, guys, I mean, Key and Hunter with his size and Gilmore with his size and speed, they all seem to be outside guys, I guess. I think, yeah. I mean, you know, you got Ja'Cory in the slot. I think most of those other guys are outside guys. I hope BC also made the point to us that we do this every year where we're looking at the roster and it's like, I think they got like 8 or 9 guys they're going to have to get the ball to. How are they going to do this? And by October, November, it's like, yeah. Oh, if this one guy is injured, we have nobody to throw to.
Yeah. And then there's a walk-on from Weeping Water that's starting in the slot.
Exactly. Exactly. So hopefully a lot of these guys pan out. I think a lot of them have showed the production at the highest level. So we have reason to be optimistic. Yeah. So another guy that's really intriguing to me, fellas, and he's kind of not being talked about as much, I don't think. There was tons of hype around Demetrius Bell mm-hmm. in the spring of 2024. And he was like, I think even more, like, I remember his name was mentioned along with Barney. Like, these two guys, watch out, right?
Yeah.
And he would have also been a true freshman last year. Injury in the 2024 spring game. Mm-hmm. Blew out his knee, I think. He's still out for spring practice in 2025. And so at least that's what that's the latest I read. And he's got a green jersey on. But Steve Merrick, again, from the Rivals account.
Steve-O.
retweeted a pic of that Bell posted of himself at one of the workouts saying, best not to forget about wide receiver Demetrius Bell for the fall. Look, we're the Common fans. We don't have any inside intel here, but I'm really interested and intrigued to see if, you know, we're talking about the transfers. We're talking about Barney. We're going to talk about some of the true freshmen. Hopefully all those guys are contributors. Don't get me wrong, but I'm really interested to see if Bell kind of reemerges in the conversation as well.
Yeah. And you really want, like, if it just kind of stinks for some guys, I think, like, he could have really made an impact last year. And now we've got all so many more guys. So you just kind of hope that he can get, you know, his opportunities and chances with all, you know, so many more bodies involved in the wide receiver room. You just hope that he didn't kind of miss his chance. You know what I mean? To make an impact, just because now there's so many mouths to feed, guys.
Yep, exactly. Do you have anything on that front?
You got to find a way to stand out. Like Owen said, we've got a lot of people to throw the ball to now. So it's unfortunate that happened to him last season, but I have high hopes for this kid. I hope he does well.
Love it. Husker Online had a few tidbits after Thursday's practice. And one of their takeaways was the wide receiver room is impressive. One guy they mentioned was Jaden Doss, actually. So Doss was a wide receiver in 23. He switched to defensive back in 2024. He redshirted in 23. Now he's back to wide receiver in 2025. And so one of the things Husker Online said, Jaden Doss made a nice catch on a slant against tight coverage from transfer corner Andrew Marshall. So that's exciting about Doss. Husker Online blurb also mentioned Kentucky transfer wide receiver Hardly Gilmore, who we mentioned. You can just sense the confidence he already carries himself and that he's come here to play. So I love that. Mm-hmm. They got a few more blurbs in this Husker Online quote that I'm going to come back to. So the redshirt freshman group is interesting. There's DJ Smith and DJ Singleton. Neither of them contributed a ton last year. And then there's Quinn Clark, this guy from Bozeman, Montana. Here's what Husker Online had to say about him. If you're picking guys to get off the bus first to impress people, you might start with Quinn Clark. The redshirt freshman receiver is listed at 6'5 and 205 and is all of that. Mm-hmm. And the guy's got legit speed. And I remember when Holgerson took over, like right at the beginning, when he was doing like press conferences and he would like read people's numbers because he didn't even know their names yet. He made a point that we've already identified one guy who basically hasn't been seeing the field much that we think can help us right away. And I don't know that we ever
heard who it was.
I don't know if we ever heard who it was, or like no one like flashed on the scene enough those last three games to really figure out what he was talking about. But a lot of people were saying maybe it's Quinn Clark, right? So I think there's a lot of optimism about this guy, and he's another guy that I'm really excited to see. Can he emerge? Can he contribute right away, right?
Yeah. He's tall. Throw the ball to that guy and let him get it. Yeah, love me a good tall wide receiver. Yeah,
throw him a jump ball.
Mm-hmm. Let him get it.
A little fade route, corner of the end zone.
Well, we have, it's interesting, Rule and Holgerson have both talked about how they're not changing the offense a ton from what they were doing before. And, you know, that kind of gives me a little bit of indigestion. And, you know, I think that, but I'm just going to trust that, you know, Holgerson. Yeah, exactly, Jeff. Holgerson is like, you know, simplifying it, focusing on what they can do really well, and also offering his own little wrinkles.
Yeah.
One thing they are talking about changing, and Raiola has commented on this too, is the 2-minute offense, mm-hmm. which has been atrocious
been a problem.
At Nebraska since, I don't know, the second Bush administration, maybe?
Island era.
The 2-minute offense has just been terrible for the longest time. And like, how many times, going back to the Riley or Frost eras, did we have the ball with a chance to win? Usually because we had just given up the lead before that. But how many times do we have the ball with a chance to win and not able to get the job done? So you just wonder if a guy like Quinn Clark could carve out a role for himself in something like a red zone offense or a 2-minute offense where you can throw him up, you can go get some jump balls when you need a first down, you need a touchdown kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Owens, go ahead.
No, you go.
No, I was just going to point out in this podcast already, we've referred, multiple people have referred to Nebraska as elite and impressive. Those two words have already been used in this podcast today. That's pretty impressive, dudes. That is elite and impressive that they're referring to Nebraska as elite and impressive. When's the last time you've heard those words?
Who's saying these things? All many
TJ,
people?
Yeah, many people are saying this. TJ's mentioned it twice already.
All the people I'm quoting. Elite. Yeah, it's exciting. Yes. It's exciting.
It's out there.
It's exciting.
It jives with, you know, a cynical Husker fan might say, this is what they always say. And this, you know, jives with us winning the offseason national championship. But I'm going to choose to believe, like I always do. I'm going to choose to get sucked in and believe what everyone is saying and believe that we're going to the playoffs.
I read whatever I read on Twitter and the internet, I just believe. You're right. So
yeah, I know you do. I know you do. Twitter and the internet and National Enquirer. Matt, go ahead.
Yes. Yes. Got to throw the National Enquirer in there. Nothing but facts in there. No, I just think I get that. I get the Husker, the cynical Husker fan saying, let's wait until we're a few games in to decide how good this receiver room is. But like, some of the guys are, like we've talked about it, some of these guys are proven and they're experienced. Yeah. Like, there's so many guys now, you can't tell me three or four of them aren't gonna pop and have, and there might be even five or six. I mean, there's just so many guys that are gonna get opportunities. I can't see a scenario where we're sitting here in October or November and been like, God, what the hell were we talking about? These receivers are terrible. Like, I just don't see it happening. So I am my glass is more than half full. It is 3/4 to 4/5 full.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That is a full. That's a tall cup.
And yes, I just used two fractions, two different fractions. Actually three, half, 3/4, 4/5.
All right, boys, moving on to the true freshman. I mean, I think the most exciting one is Cortez Mills, who
I just like the name. You know,
we've talked about before. And he was a longtime Oklahoma commit that we peeled away from Oklahoma, a consensus 4-star across the board. And here's what BC said about Cortez Mills. He compared him to Ja'Cory Barney. He said they're very similar. And then he went on to say wide receiver is going to be interesting because you've got the new portal additions like Dane Key and Isaiah Hunter and Hartley Gilmore and Ja'Cory, obviously. But I do think there's still space for a freshman to make his mark. And I think if that's going to happen, I think folks are thinking it's going to be Cortez Mills, right?
Yeah.
Pretty exciting stuff. Any thoughts on Mills?
I mean, I do. I think we talked about him a little bit in one of our last pods. Very, very highly rated receiver recruit. Like, yeah, I didn't realize, like, he's like the third or fourth highest receiver recruit we've ever had. Like, it was like Tyjon Lindsey and some other guy, and then it was Cortez Mills. So he's coming in with a lot of hype and a lot of I don't know what you want, a lot of je ne sais quoi. No, I don't have a ton to say about Mills, but I think you're going to get to this next guy. He's been talked about a lot this week, another true freshman. So he might compete with Mills. If there's going to be just one true freshman, I don't know if it's a given we give it up to Mills.
He's just the name alone. It just reeks of Hollywood. I love it. He's going to do
it.
Awesome.
A great receiver's name.
I'm going to call it right now. He's just going to be probably one of our most outstanding, wide receivers this season. He's going to make a lot of noise.
I'm predicting it
right now.
I'm predicting that I'm probably going to be calling him Tez by like halfway through the season.
Tez.
All everyone who's close to him calls him Tez.
Really?
Yeah, is that true?
All of his, no, I don't know.
Are you making that up?
I don't know. I totally made that up. So another guy, guys, in the true freshman room is Isaiah Mosey.
There it is.
I thought that's who you were referencing, Matteo. Mm-hmm. Another 4-star wide receiver, and is the son of Jamar Mosey, who's on the staff of the Nebraska football team. So he's from Missouri. I want to say he's from the Kansas City area, Lee Summit, right? Is that city? Yeah. So I think he's the other guy. He's the other guy. You're right, Matteo. If you're going to see a wide receiver bust out, he's the other guy that's probably the most likely, a true freshman wide receiver, that is. He's the other guy that's most likely.
Yeah. He's been, I saw a nice catch he made in practice this week. I can't remember who tweeted it out, but it was all like Isaiah Mosey turning heads. I can't remember who, somebody tweeted about how, oh, it was the Tim Verghese guy you're seeing tweets from him?
Yep.
Yeah. he tweeted something about all these receivers and Isaiah Moseley's turning head. So I was like, oh, okay.
The other guy you hear about, guys, is Jeremiah Jones. And what you continuously hear about him is what an excellent athlete he is. Also, he's 6'4", 215.
Jeez, we got some big boys.
Yeah, and excelled on both sides of the ball in high school. So he could be a sleeper to watch as well, fellas. I don't want to pretend I've watched film on any of these true freshmen, especially. You know, some of the older guys, we've at least watched them play, or they have numbers at other places. Right. I don't want to pretend that I'd like to think that our Common Fan regular listeners think of us sitting in the Common Fan headquarters that looks similar to like the ESPN headquarters, just watching film and doing research on the Nebraska football team. And that's what we do, Common Fans. Don't worry. That's what we do. But we also have wives and children and day jobs. So sometimes we don't always get to as much film as we would like, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not always.
By that, I mean, we don't watch any film, but we do sit, there is a Common Fan headquarters and it is full of Nebraska football.
Yeah, the control room.
Memorabilia. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Last one on the true freshman list is Jackson Carpenter. We'll see how this group comes together. Other thing from this Husker Online blurb, just general thoughts. It's hard not to be excited about Nebraska's wide receiver room. That group is loaded with very impressive athletes and speed. We got a taste of what that group could be during some one-on-one passing drills with the DBs. Then they specifically named Ja'Cory Barney, Cortez Mills, and Isaiah Moseley all had some nice plays during. So that's pretty exciting. One other thing, guys, back to our friend Jim in Minnesota. This was about a week ago, and he referenced Steve Sipple, who's a longtime Journal Star guy and is at Husker Online now as well. So I don't know if he read this somewhere or if Sipple, Sipple's on the radio a lot too, and he does podcast stuff. I don't know where Sipple mentioned this, but Jim tweeted that Sipple's top four wide receivers in order are Dane Key, Nazaiah Hunter, Hardly Gilmore, and Ja'Cory Barney. This was before spring ball even started. I think that tells you how high the staff is on Key, Hunter, and Gilmore, the three transfers in particular. I'd have a hard time, again, just me not having watched a lot of film. I don't know how you put somebody like Gilmore in front of Ja'Cory Barney, just given the differences in production. But I think also if you're, even if that, like, however that pans out, if you're listing Barney as number four, and that's like your level of expectation and excitement about the room, even if Barney ends up as a top two guy in the wide receiver room, it sounds like all four of those guys can play, and three of them are brand new from the transfer portal.
It's a nice problem to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, I mean, I think, again, we've got to see it on the field, and Husker fans are sick of getting burned for the last however many years. But, I mean, fill in the blank, this is the most exciting wide receiver group since...
ever? For Nebraska.
Yeah, a long time.
Nice. Doesn't happen.
I'm trying to remember, we had, what was it, about 2012, 2013, no, 2012. It was Kenny Bell, Quincy Enunwa. I don't know. Like, I mean, we got to see it with production. I feel like for a few years there, then, Westy and Kenny Bell overlapped for a few years. Mm-hmm. Did Enunwa overlap with Westerkamp? I can't remember. And then Westy overlapped with Stanley Morgan. So we had some years there where we had at least a couple of top guys.
Like, but always then, like one or two guys only.
Yeah. Like, and then you'd mix in like a Brandon Riley or some other guys who were regular contributors. But if all of these guys pan out like we think they will, I don't know that we've had wide receivers like this since forever. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you go back to the Pelini era too. We had like Niles Paul and Brandon Kinney was like a couple there were some good receivers back then, but not to this level of depth and hype and expectation. It's something that we haven't really had a lot of experience with as Husker fans.
That's right. That's exactly
right. With the wide receiver room.
And you pair it with
a quarterback. I was going to say, just pair with a quarterback. That's highly touted. So
that's what I think. There's being like a real concerted effort to be like, let's take advantage of these two, 3 years we have with Dylan left and get him some weapons, right? Like, it's not just like you're talking about weapons. It's not like you're handing him like a knife and a pistol. It's like, now we've got like Gatling gun, a rocket launcher, a couple sawed-off shotguns. It's like one of those action movies. You open the trunk and there's like, holy crap, look at this weaponry. So yeah, this is something that is good. We want to have your stud blue chip 5-star quarterback, guys to get the ball to.
So,
Yeah, don't make me.
and go ahead, Jeff.
Don't make me bust out sound effects, Mo. You're bringing up all these weapons. I don't want to start doing sound
Oh,
effects.
great.
I don't think the
Okay.
audience can handle it.
No.
Well, and then you pair that with Dana Holgorsen as well, considered one of the best
Yes.
offensive minds in the game,
And he's
yeah,
like
right?
he's been as good as advertised on this, like through these press conference deals. Like, I
Yes,
don't know
I
if you
love watching
saw
this guy
like
talk.
how he kind of was kind of busting Dakil Shorts' balls a little bit about. Somebody asked him about Shorts and when did you know he was going to be a coach? He said when he ran a 4.7, and
I
but then
not see that.
he
That's
went on to like
outstanding.
compliment him and say, you know what, he started like 4 years for me and he's always working hard, blah blah blah, and had nothing but good
Yeah.
things to say about him. You can tell there's a
Yeah.
good relationship there
Yeah. Love
between
that.
Holgorsen and Shorts,
Yep.
and I think we're going to see a huge, huge year out of the receiver room, guys.
Yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm really excited. Any final thoughts, boys?
It's going to be an awesome year. I'm really excited. I am really, really excited, guys. This episode just got me even more reinvigorated about the
You would
upcoming
be
season. We're going to
Hollywood.
be really Hollywood, baby. Exactly right. Bomb play. Bomb play. Run the bomb
Bomb
play every
play.
time.
Run
Run the
the
bomb play
bomb
every
play.
time.
Are you?
That's what Dana is saying into the headset too. All right, guys,
Bomb
bomb
play.
play on two.
On
Look,
two.
we've said it ad nauseum, but if the offense can be like, I don't know, somewhere above average, like a top 50 in the country offense, like not even a top 10 or 20, just like a top 50 offense, and the defense can avoid a steep fall off, that's probably good for three more wins with the
Yeah.
schedule, right? I mean,
No,
like that,
get
like,
like 28, average like 28 points a game, and I think
yeah.
we'll be in pretty good shape.
Or just average like 45 points a game, and that'll
Or we
be a
could do
great team.
that.
There you
Or
go.
we could do
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why we wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
We'll do it
All
like
right, common
Madden. Nope.
fans. So go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
I was gonna say we'll do it like Madden. No punting, no field goals. We're just hucking that thing on every play. It does not
Yeah,
matter
it's
what the
analytics.
situation is.
Then
Yeah.
just say it's
That's it.
analytics.
The Scrutiny's down there.
Analytics.
Cortez is down there somewhere.
Yeah.
The analytics said to go for it. All right, Comet fans. Hope you're soaking up all the spring ball content you can get. We're happy to help with that. We're gonna have some fun guests coming up soon. And man, we're powering through spring ball. We're already a week into spring
Yeah.
ball. It's
Woo.
almost April. We're getting there. We're getting there, folks. I can almost smell
Yeah,
fall.
we
I can
got
almost smell.
baseball's started. It's gonna be the Masters soon. Like
There's a
we're
certain
moving
Masters is
along. Yeah.
great. There's a
Baseball.
smell. There's a smell in the air come like mid-August, where like people are still cutting their grass. So it's like I envision it like it's cutting grass, but it starts to turn a little bit. I don't know. I can't explain it in words, but it starts to smell like fall. It
Yeah.
starts to remind me of going to all the way back in midget football practice and then high school football practice. It starts to like just smell like football.
We
And
don't, yeah.
obviously we're still like 4.5 months away from that, but it's like we're getting there. We're getting there.
TJ, we don't say midget football anymore. It's Lincoln Youth Football.
I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that. That's legitimately what it was called, people. Okay. That's what it was called. Right?
Gonna be hearing
Just
from the
saying.
board on this one.
The board is going to be very angry about this one. All right, Kaufman fans. Thanks for hanging with us. Hopefully the big red juices are sky high and flowing like the salmon of Capistrano after this episode. We will be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.